The gospel lesson for today is found in Luke's gospel, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. In returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told all of this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths all by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, as we ponder these words today on this Resurrection Sunday, I pray that we may come to understand a little better what happened that day, that we may remember the story and its meaning. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have a great memory. Sometimes it's a little short, but nonetheless, it's a great memory. Anyhow, I was talking to a friend this week, and he was going to a wedding reception. He said, "Oh, there'll be some people from Spring Lake Park Baptist Church where I was ordained at this reception," and he listed off several of them, and one of the names was Dan Lind, or Dwayne Lind. I haven't seen Dwayne Lind in 45 years or more, but we were in a small group together, a dinner group where, you know, it's kind of one of those dinner groups where you go from one house one month to the next house on another month, and there's four couples, and you know, just trying to get to know people in the church. And we were relatively a new couple at the time. Well, Dwayne Lind, I remember a significant conversation we had at one of those small group meetings. It was about, when you put toilet paper on the roll, where do you put it, over or behind? Yeah, great memory. I mean, what a wonderful story of significance. And that's what I remember of Dwayne Lind. Not that he was a professor or what he taught. I don't know what he did or what he taught, but I know he was just starting as a professor of something at a college nearby. But that's what I remember. Do you remember trivial things like that? I don't know. I hope not. But we sometimes are funny people, the way we remember or don't remember significant things. So we're here on Easter Sunday again, the day of resurrection. And how many of you have witnessed a resurrection in your lifetime? You know, perhaps we've all seen a listless basketball or hockey team that was out-hustled by the other team in the first half or the first period or maybe even the second period if it's a hockey game. And something happens during halftime and they come out as a totally different team and somehow or other they manage to win the game. They found new life. They were resurrected in a way. Maybe the coach really gave it to them at, you know, during the break time, whatever. But they were a new team. Yeah. And that may be as close to a resurrection as we can imagine in our experience. You know,
We hope sometime in the next few days or weeks that tulips will start popping up out of the ground and daffodils and flowers and all of that. But, you know, up north at our cabin, when I left there last Monday, there was still snow up to my knee in the woods. And so, and there's probably get 5 to 8 inches of snow this week. So spring may come in June this year, I don't know. But we hope for spring and new life to come sooner than later.
This story, this gospel story today, is a whole different kind of resurrection than any of us have witnessed. And it was an event that even those who were first witnesses didn't understand or fully grasp what had happened. It was an event. So if you struggle to understand it, you are in good company. None of the disciples understood it either until they had encountered the risen Christ personally days later or that night in different readings. And when they experienced the risen Christ, that changed everything for them. So even though there are important things that we should just naturally remember, we often forget. And I'm amazed at people who can remember conversations word for word that we might have had a month or two ago. And they can say what we talked about, and I vaguely remember the conversation. Say, well, don't you remember you said this? And I'm looking, nope. I know that we had a conversation, but I don't remember exactly what I said. And people like that just, how do they do that? It seems like my mind is an iron trap that has been in the water too long and has gotten rusted. You know, I don't know. So let me ask you this. What does it mean for you to remember? Gerhard Frost tells an interesting story about one of his former students that he met in the doorway of a church on Good Friday. He was holding two handsome little boys by the hand, one on either side of him, and Frost commented that he was in good company, to which the man, the father, confided, well, as an aside to Frost, well, that's true, but this little fellow on my right wasn't happy when he had to put his toys away and get dressed for church today. He wondered, it's Friday. Why do we have to go to church today? And the father explained to him that this was the day when we remember Jesus was crucified for us. And the little boy said, but I remember it. Well, I think we've all had teachers who told us to remember this in remember this class because it's going to be on your test. Okay, so don't forget it. And we do our best to make good notes, review them so that we will remember that information when we need it for the test. It's one thing to remember facts. It's another thing to understand what they mean in a broader context. Frost went on to describe how this child's comment, in this child's comment, we sense that the different ways in which the word remember can be used. To remember may only be to note a fact as a fact and stash it away on a high shelf in our mind. But this is not remembrance. True remembrance, he says, is assimilation, contemplation, and meditation. It is the process by which an event takes hold of my life and yours and becomes a formative factor in our living and the very texture of our days. Remembering in the sense that I'm trying to communicate with you today is not about just being able to recall facts such as Good Friday is the day when Jesus died on the cross. I think remembering here is more like, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? And how does it change your life? It's like when the light of understanding finally clicks on in our mind and we begin to see and understand things in a new way for the first time. And we get it. It was there all the time. And yes, now I understand. We might say when we get to that point, we are internalizing the message. And that's when it becomes transformative in our lives. If all we remember is the story, all we have is ritual. God wants us to have a vital relationship with Christ and engage in Christ's mission. And that happens when we begin to fully understand the meaning of the story and how it is supposed to apply to our lives and living. The reason I'm talking about this is that when the women were at the tomb where Jesus was buried, two men appeared to them in clothes that were gleaming like lightning. And they said to him, and said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while you were still with him in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they left the tomb, they told everything to the 11 apostles and all the rest. Luke doesn't say how many were gathered there. But these words seemed to them, the disciples, like an idle tale, or literally delirious, or something totally unbelievable. David Lowe says, "If we were to be a little bit more colloquial and perhaps more faithful to the salty language of fishermen, we might translate idle tale as the stuff farmers use to fertilize their field, or simply BS. And who could blame them? To their mind, and perhaps to ours as well, when we're not in church, the dead don't come back to life again. The testimony of these women was frightening, long before it made sense or comfort to them. So Peter ran to the tomb and found the grave cloths lying there all by themselves, and that's all. And as the message puts it, he walked away puzzled and shaking his head. It made no sense to him. So you would think that those who follow Jesus most closely would remember the things that they should have known were significant. But they, like us, had selective memories and needed to be reminded again and again of what Jesus was trying to teach them. So what were those things? Jesus told him over and over again. Luke records four different times when Jesus told them about how the Son of Man would suffer many things, be killed, and on the third day raised to life. Chapter 9, verses 21 to 23, and in verse 44. Chapter 17, verse 25, and again in 18:31, we read, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. They did not know what he was talking about. It didn't connect with them in that moment because they were there in the middle of it. And they had other things on their minds and on their agenda. And we seem to think, and we seem to never think about those kinds of things might happen to someone that we know. But it's only when we look back on our lives and experiences that we begin to connect the dots and make connections that help us understand and really remember and see how these things can apply to our lives. It seems to me from reading the scriptures that those who followed Jesus, even after traveling with him, listening to his teachings for almost 3 years, they still had no clue what Jesus was talking about and what he was facing or going to face. It was like they were thinking about some other person, the Messiah, who would one day come and rescue Israel, but not in their lifetime. So when the arrest was made, Jesus was tried and convicted and put to death, they still had not connected the dots. They still did not understand until they were at the tomb. The women were at the tomb and the men in white clothes addressed them. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Then they remembered his words. But still, They didn't really understand what the experience meant. And Peter went away from the tomb puzzled, shaking his head. Frost goes on to say, when we deceive ourselves into thinking that remembering means reciting or lecturing, we lose sight of the fact that remembering really means receiving. When we remember Jesus, we are shaped and sustained and nourished and formed in him. We grow because of God's gracious activity within us. We sense a bigger and bigger God and are able to accept and respond to God and to trust God more and more. In this way, remembering is more than an intellectual experience. It's a total response. And when we as Christians remember Jesus together, we share each other's gifts and stories. By defining ourselves in terms of our common experiences and memories, we reinforce the fact that we belong to the same family and are of the same body, the body of Christ, risen from the dead. The Road to Emmaus story that follows the text for today in the latter part of Luke 24 illustrates this notion of remembering in an interesting way. Two of Jesus' disciples were on the road to Emmaus, which was about 8 miles from Jerusalem, Cleopas and another. And they were talking among themselves about all the things that had happened, and they were really discouraged and sad. And this guy came up and walked beside them for a while and asked, well, what are you talking about on the way? And so they told him, are you the only person around that hasn't heard about Jesus of Nazareth and what has happened to him this past week and how he was arrested and tried and crucified and he died? And some women went to the tomb this morning and it was empty. And then Jesus unfolded to them all of the things in the Old Testament, as we know it, about the Son of Man and how the Son of Man must suffer all of these things. It was getting late, sun was setting, and they arrived at Emmaus, and they said, well, why don't you stay the night? So he went in with them, and they were at table getting ready to eat. And Jesus took bread, he broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened. It dawned on them who this was walking with them on the way. And he disappeared from their midst. And they talked to each other and said, you know, didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked to us about all those things in the Hebrew scriptures? Why didn't we get it? Why didn't we understand when he was there? And they ran to Jerusalem to tell the others what they had seen and experienced. Remembering. Understanding. Wow, it makes all the difference in the world. Remembering is to keep today focused on Christ and why Christ came to earth. Remembering always takes us back to his birth, his life, his ministry, his teachings, his death and resurrection. It reminds us of why Jesus came and what his mission was. Remembering is about taking up Christ's mission to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the prisoners free, and to proclaim the day of the Lord. It means following him in mission, wherever that may lead. Remembering is reminding each other that as we share our life and mission for others, we don't lose anything. Instead, we remember our saved lives and what Christ has done for us, which empowers us to do what it is we need to do. We also remember that the power that raised Jesus from the grave is available to us right now, and that power can transform our everyday living. It enables us to live with hope and joy so that we can carry on his mission rather than live in fear or despair. And what's more, if Jesus is, as the Apostle Paul said, the first fruits of the age to come, then the resurrected Christ gives us a clue and a hope that at the end of time, when God makes all things new, we shall be like that resurrected one and be with our loved ones and our Savior once again and forever. I can't explain the resurrection to you. I've never experienced anything like it in my life. But what I do believe is this, that when the resurrected Christ appeared to his earliest followers, their lives were changed, transformed. The world has not been the same since. We have heard this story because of them, because of how they remembered the story and the impact that it had on their lives and on their living. They bought into the mission to spread that good news of God's love and grace. While I can't explain it, I know something extraordinary happened, and it's made all the difference in the world. I believe God's desire for each of us is that we would open ourselves up to that same transforming power now made possible through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So may we live with hope and courage. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Glory be to God. Amen. Please join.